This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. This is Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach and ADHD Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is April the 23rd in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our topic tonight is ADHD, getting accommodations at work. And with us in our virtual studio is Scott Wilbur. Special shout out to Sandy Maynard. We interviewed her a couple times. Most recently, she aired, I think it was last week or a week or two ago, in a pre-taped show on criticism. And Sandy is the one that introduced me to Wilbur, Scott Wilbur, that is. And I'm really excited about this particular show. I've done a little bit of research and some looking up, and I think we're going to have a great show for you tonight. Before we get into that, I got a bunch of announcements. There's so much happening in the world of ADHD. First of all, a week, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, Chad is having a virtual conference. That's Saturday, May the 3rd from 9 to 5 p.m. It is virtual. I think it's the first time they actually had a virtual conference of this type. And to learn more information on that, go to chadd.org. And you actually can go to the same website because they're actually having a fundraiser in the D.C. area on Saturday, May the 18th at Bluemont Park, which is in Arlington, Virginia. It's actually ADHD Walk and Family Fun between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And I got a big shout-out for the crowd. I am one of the members of the editorial committee for Attitude Magazine, and I know that they're going to have a special group that's kind of walking out there. So everybody, hi, wish you luck. I wish I could go up there. I myself am from Northern Virginia, about an hour southwest. Used to go in my old days. I swam in high school and trained in Fairfax, Virginia. Used to get up every morning, drive an hour up, drive an hour back to school, and go and train. No, it's a whole other story. But anyway, this walk is going to be a great thing. If you're in the D.C. area and you got a chance, go out and check it out. Again, for information on that, go to chadd.org. And as always, their annual conference is about 6 months away. It's going to be in Chicago this year in November. I'm always there. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing some more listeners out there. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. A week from tomorrow, as a matter of fact, I'm actually flying to Phoenix for the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference. For more information on that, go to ADHDcoaches.org. Realize that it's not just for coaches, mental health professionals. I know we got several coming, and if you're thinking about, if you think you might need a coach or want to learn about coaching or maybe become a coach, we encourage you to go. And then the last but not least is the Attention Deficit Disorder Conference. Is this summer in July, right up the road for me in Orlando. I'm based out of Tampa, by the way. I'm kind of excited. I'm presenting that one, presentation I do on sports and exercise, which would be fun. But for more information on that, go to add.org. And I think that is all of our announcements. Thank God there's a lot going on, which is good stuff. You dialed in tonight because you wanted to hear the topic. Again, with us tonight is Scott Wilbur. He's the owner and founder of Next Level Transition Consulting. He's a certified special education teacher and a transition consultant who has his own learning disabilities and ADHD. And because of these challenges, Scott has overcome in his own scholastic and career experiences. He has a unique perspective on the diverse learners' needs in order to successfully work in the right environment. He manages a community job site for Fairfax County Public Schools together with his colleague Lisa Williams. He has increased the competitive employment of their students by 20%. He assisted in creating two new community job sites for his schools and has helped place clients in a variety of successful careers and educational environments. Over the past 4 years, Scott has supported students, clients, coaching consultants, and colleagues and corporations in planning and implementing strength-based strategies for successful integration and diverse learners. For more information, go to his website at nextleveltransitions.com. That's NextLevelTransitions.com. And with that, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
Scott, I've read some of your stuff, and when it comes to accommodations, one of the things that stands out to me that we've touched on in other shows is the need to understand your own individual situation. Can you talk about that for a second?
Sure. That is where it all starts. I mean, that's kind of the step one. If you don't understand what your strengths are and what your needs are, it's going to be very difficult for you to explain that to another person in a way that they can hear you and be able to help you. You have to be able to know what kind of circumstances make you successful, what success looks like for you, and kind of what your goal is and what you want, and more importantly, what you need. And it needs to be definable. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to let everyone else know what it is that you... No one can read your mind. So you have to be able to express it. And that starts with understanding it yourself.
Now, is this the part to me that many people skip over, and they walk in expecting somebody else to do that. Your thoughts on that? Do you find that frequently, or are people generally walking in and understanding their strengths and able to articulate it?
Yeah, I think that the hardest thing for a lot of people with LD to do is to talk about what it is that they're good at and what it is that they need. And I think a lot of it goes back to, you know, many of us have had some failures in the past and we get ashamed about needing things. There's often a negative, sort of perception of us that mm-hmm. we sort of carry. And it gets hard. In a certain sense, you have to be able to own your learning disability. You have to be able to own your ADHD and own your deficits. It's something that I think all successful people do, and once you kind of accept it, then you can move past it and learn to deal with it and be successful, and you can even learn how to turn it into a strength, as people as myself and certainly you have and a lot of other people, and use the diverse sort of thought in a way to see the world in a new perspective. But I think that there are a lot of negative emotions attached to it, and that makes people not want to address it.
But I couldn't agree with you more. There's definitely some negative emotions. I think one of the hard parts, too, is sometimes is actually sitting down and trying to identify what your strengths are and able to articulate it, because it's not an easy task, because sometimes strengths, in my opinion, are not that obvious. And I got a whole other philosophy on strengths, skills, knowledge, experience, talents, and all that kind of stuff, which I'll save for another time. But you do need, I think the key is to invest the time to understand what those things are and articulate it. And if you can get to that point in time, I think that you're really empowered to do a whole lot. And you actually, I think, walk through a great formula to kind of work your way through to kind of get to the accommodations. But I think in reading your stuff, Scott, and other people we've interviewed, I think the key all starts with doing the work and understanding yourself and owning it and saying this is what it is to begin with. Once you get to that, we can get into the more methodical type stuff, which I think that you articulate very like, what is the problem, who can help you formulate a strategy, what are the reasonable solutions, and who can help you fix it, because that kind of goes through it. But it all really begins with advocating for yourself. And one of the things that I know that you write about is the notion of advocating about self, because it really comes down to self. Is that accurate?
That is. That's exactly right. And, you know, if there's nobody who's going to be able to do it for you, and you have to, at the end of the day, your success or your failure comes down to how well you're able to know yourself and how well you're able to express those strengths in whatever way that you express them to people. So whatever those strengths look like for you, I mean, and it's different for every person. Some people are really great at speaking. Some people are great at writing. Some people are really great under pressure, and other people are really great working collectively. But if you don't know what those strengths are and being able to put yourself in situations and in the circumstances that you need to, that will highlight your strengths rather than your deficits, you're going to have trouble really getting the most out of your strengths.
We've had a lot of people on the shows over the years, everybody. Wilma Feldman, who I idolize. She's a career counselor and an ADHD person. She's really good at kind of helping everybody kind of hone in on some of the stuff. We've had coaching. We've had a cognitive behavioral therapist on the show. All those people can sometimes help you do that. I want to emphasize that piece of it because you got to understand your stuff. But if you do, now we're really moving into, I think, Scott's formula here a little bit, and that is if you understand that, you're going to go into the work environment and you want to execute this. Scott, I know one of the first things you do is really define what is the problem. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, a lot of people get confused on things that they want and things that they need, and they have a tendency to attach it to a circumstance kind of only, well, if I have, I have to have this. So there needs to be, what is it that you actually need? Do you need to be separated from your coworkers because they're too loud and you can't concentrate? Or do you just need to be able to use some noise reduction headphones? So it's really teasing out what it is specifically that you need. Once that's clarified, then you can start looking at the different ways that you can get it, because there's often a lot of different ways to get to the same place.
So I love the word you said specifically. I like the word. I like when I'm working with people, I want to know with specificity exactly what you do or what the formula is. And that is kind of the key, right, is nailing that down.
Yes, and really having it be kind of outcome-based. Whenever you were successful, what were the circumstances that supported that success? Whenever you weren't successful, you know, what are the circumstances that are not supporting it? And it should be objective. It shouldn't be about feelings. It should be about what is the result and what's going to help you get that result.
I loved what you just said. You look in the past when you were successful, because If you can find a time when you were successful compared to where you are now, and you can compare and contrast that environment and this environment, to me, it can reveal the clues with specificity of the things that you need in order to be successful. At least that's my perspective. Scott, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I agree totally. The devil is always in the details, and I would say actually the success is in the details. The other thing about looking at the circumstances, it makes it a little bit more objective. I think whenever we fail at something, we tend to get a little bit emotional, and we're in the problem, and sometimes it helps if you can step outside of the problem and really focusing on the details and the circumstances makes it a little bit more objective as well.
Scott, I interviewed Dr. Russell Barkley years ago, and I think I probably refer to him every show right now because I love his new concept, ADHD is an executive functioning issue, which is really a self-regulation issue. And in that context, he says, you know, you have to regulate attention and you also have to regulate emotion at the same time. And when you're talking about this context, about emotion, and you need to step out of it, is you need to be able to down-regulate your emotions and remove that to look at it objectively, because the emotional side of it can really cloud what's going on. And the idea is we want to remove that to get to the objective side so we can get to it with specificity. I'm kind of agreeing with you. Does that make some sense to you in that context?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And people with ADHD often have a tremendous amount of knowledge and competency in terms of, you know, what they know, but they have a lot of difficulty implementing it for that exact reason.
Scott, we need to go to a commercial break. But before we do, those that want to learn more about you or maybe get involved, your website, that the best place to go?
Yes, sir.
And that's nextleveltransitions.com. And on the site, I'm
nextleveltransition.com.
Yes. So let's spell that. nextleveltransition.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit EdgeFoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Scott Wilbur, and we're talking about getting accommodations at work. Before the break, we highlighted the need to really understand your situation with specificity. People can't read your mind, and they don't necessarily know what's going on. And if you're going to advocate for yourself, it really begins with you. I don't want to gloss over that. It's not necessarily an easy part, but I think it's a required part, and there's lots of resources out there to help you do that if you're struggling with it. But once you do know that, before the break, we talked about defining really what is the problem, but the next steps, Scott, in your formula, I understand, is to understand who can help you formulate the strategy and what are 3 reasonable accommodations. So can we talk about the your perspective on formulating a strategy?
So I like to start with the client first. I think that's important. Whatever it is that they can do first, go with that. So what I always say to them, what have you done? What are the things that you've tried? And it's important to try those things because then later down the road you can, you know, sort of highlight if you get asked, you know, what have you done? It's important whenever you're asking for something that they feel like you've already made some efforts. It goes a long way with most bosses. It's important to, you know, once you know exactly what the problem is, then you can start teasing out, okay, is this an environmental thing? What are the things in my environment that I can change? What can I change with the least, that's going to be the least intrusive in the work environment, the least intrusive to my coworkers, to my boss, the least expensive? The easier it is to implement, the better. Try all of those things first. Once you've tried those things and that you can change yourself, that you don't need to really ask anybody about, that still go with the protocol of the workplace, then you want to start looking around at your coworkers. Has anyone else had this kind of problem? Can you look at what they did and maybe get some ideas from them? Is there anybody who, you know, you can talk to? Before you go to anyone, you want to sort of learn observationally if you can. You know, talking to your coworkers can be a tricky thing depending on what the problem is. Sometimes it's not a problem that you necessarily want to disclose to a lot of coworkers, and you need to, if it's of more of a private nature, then you might not want to, you know, divulge that. But talking to your coworkers can be a place to start. And then once you've narrowed all those things down and you're still having issues, then it would be time to either talk to, you know, your direct supervisor. You want to make sure that you follow the chain of command. Bosses tend to get a little bit prickly if you go directly above their head. So starting with a direct supervisor can be good. If you're having the problem with the direct supervisor, that's a little bit more difficult. You know, HR people, that's part of their job, is to help solve problems for their employees. And then lastly, you might go up to whoever the department head is. But again, a lot of it is making sure that when you go to these people, that you have a couple of solutions to offer them. You know, that way it doesn't seem like you're just complaining. And it also helps to, when you talk to them, to bill it as stay positive about it, rather than these are the things that are making me unproductive. Say, these are the things that would make me more productive. This would make me a better employee for you.
Oh, my God. There's so much brilliance in what you said. At the beginning of what I was hearing you say is start with yourself. Try to figure out what you can do. Go out and implement it so that when you do walk into a conversation, you've already kind of started to build a file. Like, I'm challenged here, but I've already tried this, this, and this. So you're trying to illustrate that, you know, you've done a little bit yourself. And I can tell you personally, years ago I was in the insurance business, and I was struggling with some stuff, and I actually went out and bought my own laptop on the side. This is before laptops was even really kind of in vogue. And I was actually utilizing that tool. And even now, if I left what I was doing, went somewhere, for me, I've actually learned that when I'm done with meetings, it's really good for me to dictate my thoughts and notes, and I use a service called CopyTalk.com. It's $60 a month, and I can dictate for 4 minutes all I want. But those are things that I use that help me in my business right now, and I would probably pay for that service outside of my employment in the right situation to kind of do that. So those are situations where I'm walking in, understanding my situation, and implementing those solutions. And then what I'm hearing you saying, Scott, is that if you got to move past that, you need to begin to understand what you might need, go through the chain of command so that you, when you walk in, not only do you say, hey, listen, I've tried this, this, and this, so I've got some skin in the game and I've been willfully doing this, but here's some other issues, and I think that if we could do this, this, and this, you're walking with solutions. Now you're removing the mystery of what you want and make it easier for everybody. And if you can keep the path of least resistance and think about expenses, and I think a lot of these accommodations don't necessarily cost a lot of money, then it makes it a lot easier for those people to help you. With what I said, would you agree with that, or would you like to make any adjustments?
No, I think it was perfect, dead on, very eloquently said.
But here's the thing, is we talked earlier, Scott, about it all begins with you and self, because you have to understand yourself to advocate for yourself, and there's a little bit of demonstrating signaling, and that's why I like your formula here, because it's really define the problem, work with who's going to formulate the strategy, work those reasonable combinations, and the next step you talk about is who can fix it, like who can actually do that. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. This can be a little bit more complicated because it really depends on what the problem is. But if you can decide, part of the reason why I go with that strategy of, you know, what can I fix? What can maybe my coworkers help with? What would a boss use? That going through that process, it kind of answers that question a little bit for you, because you're doing it almost by process of elimination. So whenever you start with yourself and you try things and you're still having the problem and you come up with all the solutions that you can, and it's always good to have somebody that you trust that you can talk these things out with. A lot of people with learning disabilities and with ADHD process things better when you talk about them. And I think people in general, whenever they have someone that they can bounce ideas off of, it helps sort of clarify what the problems are, you know, that outside
yep.
perspective.
Yep.
Two sets of eyes are better than one kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But as you go through and try to solve the problem yourself, once you've tried that and it has worked, then you know kind of naturally that you need to go to the next level, which would be, you know, any coworkers that you might be able to lean on. Say maybe you're having a problem with a certain type of paperwork. You might be able to say to another coworker, you know, this paperwork's kind of difficult for me, and I noticed that you have a problem talking to the customers, so maybe, you know, you can help me with this and I can help you with that, and, you know, kind of get creative about, and that, again, goes back to what you were saying about knowing yourself and mm-hmm. the importance of that, because if you know your strengths, then you know sort of what you have to bargain with. Then if that doesn't work, the next natural step is going to be to your direct supervisor and trying with that, and you know, so on and on and on. So at each stage, you're sort of eliminating who it is that can help you by the problem still existing after you've went to them for help. And again, the chain of command is important because nobody likes to have someone go over their head immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the best approach is always an open, honest, and positive one, and not emotional as well.
Well put. Real quickly, we need to go to break again. We come back. I want to kind of talk about some of the because we've gone through a little bit of the steps, but some other things to remember before you self-advocate. You've got a lot of great ideas in this area. So we'll come to that when we get back. But again, for those who want to learn more about Scott and get connected, go to his website, nextleveltransition.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Scott Wilbur on getting accommodations at work. We've covered a lot of material, Scott. We talked about the need to understand yourself, which I don't want to minimize. That's not necessarily the easy part. That's probably more challenging. But I think you've really laid out a lot of really good strategies to address this stuff. But to do this, there's a little bit of a mindset, and I know that you advocate for not being belligerent, and then there's another thing that you talk about is keeping track of date, times, outcomes, and actually kind of building a file. Can you speak to those individually? I guess first let's talk about the whole belligerent thing, because I know if you're trying to advocate for yourself and you're walking in, not everybody kind of gets it, and emotionally you can get kind of charged up, and I'm not so sure that's a really good idea. Thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. A lot of times we've been struggling with this for a long time, and people don't know, so it's new to them. Now, a lot of people handle newness in different ways. Some are more effective than others whenever we're talking about communication. So whoever you're talking to might not, they don't have the history with it that we do. And a lot of times we come with our own baggage. These are problems that we've had a lot, and we have a right to feel hurt by them. But that doesn't mean that the person that we're talking to understands all that. In fact, more than likely, they probably don't at all. So it's not always a function of they're not being sensitive enough. It's just that they don't really know to be sensitive to it because we haven't told them yet. And if we come right off the gate with, feeling defensive about it and hurt and actually being, kind of aggressive, then it tends to put the person who we're talking to off a little bit, and it closes the lines of communication. And what we really want is to be able to keep the lines of communication open. And I tell my clients very often, not just in self-advocacy, but just in general, what's your goal? And if your goal is to get what you need from this person, then is getting belligerent going to help or hurt? And that's just all it is. That at the end of the day, if the goal is to have an open line of communication that will help you get what you need, then being belligerent tends to close those lines of communication.
I want to stop everybody. What he said was absolutely brilliant. And I want to share, in my coaching practice, I have a small product called Getting Started, and it's for families, and particularly for those individuals in an ADHD relationship that don't have ADD. And the first call that I do, I ask them, so what is ADD, to understand what it is? And I say, what is it that you're confused about, and what is it you don't understand? In those questions, when I say, what is it you don't understand, you know what the number one answer is, Scott?
What?
I don't get ADD. Like, I don't understand why they can or can't not, they can't do this. They're really kind of confused by it all.
Yeah.
And usually it's kind of funny because I'll go back as, when did you procrastinate? And I try to take them back to an experience because we all procrastinate, just at what continuum. And I try to find a situation that they procrastinated on and, like, you wanted to do it, but you didn't do it, and say, can you imagine that magnified 100 times? And I say that so they can help to understand it, but I'm describing that to you because of your point is you've lived with it all your life. These people don't get it because they don't understand it, and if you're going to be belligerent and pick a fight, you have to be patient with them, in my opinion, to realize that this is maybe the first time, second time, where they're not really getting it. And if you're patient with them and you take that track, there's so much you can do moving forward by being patient and realizing that you got to meet them where they are as opposed to forcing it. And I'm sharing what I'm saying because I think what you said was absolutely brilliant, articulated, and just trying to confirm it, if you will. I'm not sure I'm doing a very good job articulating it, but the point really is that being belligerent, you've lived with it all your life, and it's emotional, but you got to meet those people where they are and bring them along the process, because if you don't do that, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
I agree, and I really like the point that you made in that, it should be about educating, too. I mean, that can be kind of a secondary purpose. This makes it better for all of us who suffer with these things.
Absolutely. Now, another thing you talk about is keeping track of dates, times, outcomes, and stuff like that. To me, I'm hearing you say it's about building a file. Thoughts?
Yeah, I that's exactly right. It does two things. One is it can firm up a timeline and exactly what you've done. This is helpful for you just for your own kind of edification, but it's also helpful to, in case anything does happen and you do need to take it to the next level, which would be using ADA or anything like that, the American with Disabilities Act, or trying to get those reasonable. And that's really, in my opinion, should be the kind of last step. It tends to create sort of a hostile work environment, which is then difficult to work in afterwards. But it's good to have those things just in case. It's kind of like insurance. But another purpose for it, too, is that it really does solidify in your mind kind of what you've done. It helps you to be able to articulate it, and it helps you keep track of it. I mean, let's face it, most of us with LD and ADHD organization and sort of memory and knowing when things happened is not one of our strengths. So it helps to have that in an organized, concrete way that's easily accessible.
While you were writing that down, I wrote, like, number one, building that file is good for you because you put it on paper and can help you down-regulate your emotions and kind of witness and be more self-aware. For those that you're working with, you can demonstrate that you are committed to this and this is the work that you've put into it. And if it goes a little bit higher, it's documentation. And if you really have to CYA on some of the stuff, you actually have that paper. So this building that file covers so many different things, and it's really about sitting down and actually kind of getting started because it can help you on so many different levels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, Scott, you know, what I learned from our conversation today is that it really all begins with you understand what your particular situation is. I'm not going to say that's necessarily easy, but get what you need, and then define the problem, formulate a strategy, walk in. If you can, try to solve the problem yourself. If you can't, totally, walk in and show them what you have done. Explain to them what you need and what the strategies are. Give them solutions. Don't just ask them to do that stuff, and then work with a chain of command in order to kind of fix that. And through that process, really make sure that you don't get upset because you actually have to teach them yourself through this process as an advocate, and then document along the way. And I think that's a winning formula. With that being said, did I misrepresent anything, or is there anything else that we haven't covered that you think we need to get in before we wrap this up?
No, I mean, the most important thing that I want people to take away from this is that you have to take some personal responsibility for what's going on in your life. It's very often that the system that people who have learning differences, I don't even really want to say learning disabilities because I think, you know, that's inaccurate. But those of us that have learning differences, we're often kind of put in a system that is not set up for us specifically. And, you know, that's not a good thing, but it's the reality. And what we need to do is learn how to be successful in that and in that system and how to flourish in it and be able to use our diverse perspective in order to be successful. And that all starts with knowing who we are, what we're worth, and being able to create flexible solutions to the problems that are, you know, based off of kind of non-emotional outcomes. And once you start taking that responsibility, you can apply that to a lot of the areas in your life, relationships, anything.
Well put. And with that, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been very enlightening and been very helpful. And everybody, for our listeners, don't forget to go to his website and check him out. It's nextleveltransition.com. And Scott, thank you so much.
And thank you, Jeff, for having me on. What you do is very important.
Everybody, catch us next week for another great episode of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.